Hello, this is J.P. Kirsch, and I'm your moderator this evening. I'm here with State Senator Art Haywood and his guests, and we want to welcome you to this live telephone town hall. If you have a question for Senator Haywood or any of his guests, it's important to press star 3 on your telephone's keypad. Now, let's welcome Senator Art Haywood.
Thank you, J.P., and thank you to all of the area residents participating on tonight's call. I'm Art Haywood, and I'm holding this live telephone town hall where we will discuss two topics. Normally, we only do one, but tonight we're doing two. This format will allow you to listen in and even ask questions from the comfort of your home. If you'd like to ask a question at any time, press star 3 on your phone. Now, our two topics tonight are mentoring and vaccinations, COVID-19 vaccinations. However, we're having our annual mentoring conference this Saturday from 8:30 to noon. It's virtual, like everything else, and you can sign up to participate in this mentoring conference at my website, senatorhaywood.com. However, we'd like to go straight to my special guest, Eric Marsh Sr. He is co-founder of the Fathering Circle, a strong mentoring organization in the area. So, Eric, welcome to our telephone town hall. Please share with the listeners what you're up to.
Well, welcome, everyone. Can you hear me? How do I sound?
We can.
Good, good. So thank you, Senator. Again, as you mentioned, my name is Eric Marsh, Sr., and in recognition of January as National Mentoring Month and a lead up to the Greater Philadelphia Mentoring Collaborative Conference hosted by Senator Haywood, I just want to say thank you. Thank you to the Senator and the staff for inviting me to speak on the subject of mentoring. I am the co-founder of the Fathering Circle. The Fathering Circle is a peer support organization for people who identify as fathers or father figures and are active in their child's life. TFC uses support circles to assist fathers in examining male socialization and its impact on women and children in order to help them develop closer, more loving relationships with their children and parent partners. And so what we have is just one of several types of mentoring programs. Ours is a peer support, but there are many others. And so the first question is, what is mentoring, right? Mentoring takes place between young or inexperienced persons and older, more experienced persons who are acting in a non-professional helping capacity to provide support that benefits one or more areas of the mentee's development. And that's a technical definition that's being used across the industry, but what that means is mentoring is basically a relationship-based process of guiding and instructing an individual. This means that mentoring isn't part of someone's job description. It isn't a mandatory requirement that someone gets paid to do. Mentoring is really about relationships, and it's really about people taking their personal time and resources and energy and pouring them into someone who is often, but not always, younger than them, but definitely someone that is less experienced or has less access to resources. And what we do through the Fathering Circle and many of the other mentoring programs I've been affiliated with, it's really about nurturing. It's a genuine desire to support, inform, and nurture someone who is less experienced than you. And mentoring really comes with relationships and expectations. The expectation is that the mentor provides a safe space for the mentee to openly express their challenges that they face and the goals that they have, and that the power dynamic in that relationship is respected and not abused. And it's expected that the mentor use their experience, knowledge, and resources to assist the mentee in a way that will allow them to successfully stand on their own in the area or areas that the mentee has identified as a goal or a challenge. And so each person involved, each party involved, has a responsibility to the other. Mentors have responsibilities that include listening, supporting, educating, nurturing, and empowering. The responsibilities of the mentee, however, are no less serious and important, and those responsibilities include communication, listening as well, trying, right, the actual act of attempting to do the thing that your mentor is asking you to do, step outside your comfort zone and try something different in order to achieve a new goal. And also the last one,
let me step in for just one second here. Hold that thought. Just to remind our listeners that if you have a question for any of our guests tonight, either on mentoring for Eric Marsh or on vaccines for our vaccine experts later, please press *3 on your telephone's keypad and get your question in. I'm sorry for interrupting, Eric. Go ahead and finish your thought.
No, thank you. And again, I was just talking about the role, the responsibilities of the mentee, right? We hear a lot about mentorship, right? But it's often seen as a top-down relationship when the reality is that the mentee has a responsibility too. And that includes communicating your needs, communicating your challenges, so that the mentor is able to helpfully, you know, address those issues. Listening is a responsibility on both sides of the relationship. And the mentor has to listen to the mentee to hear what the challenge or goal is, but the mentee has to listen to the mentor and take the advice that's given, right? And the last thing I want to say in terms of mentor responsibilities is what I say, the practice of Sankofa, right? Sankofa is an African tradition where it really means to reach back and fetch what you left behind you. And I use that as part of this conversation about mentor-mentee relationships and mentee responsibilities, because it really is, once you have gained the knowledge, the skill, or the access that you've wanted as someone's mentee, it is then falls upon you as a responsibility to reach back and find someone else that you can then mentor, right? And so the success and support of mentorship programs and mentoring initiatives really requires involvement from society and government across multiple areas. Did someone have a question?
Well, I'm going to
remind our callers. Yep. Go ahead, Senator.
I just want to remind our callers that we have a two-part discussion tonight. The first part with Eric Marsh, the co-founder of the Father's Circle, is on mentoring. And then the second part, in a few minutes, we'll get to questions that we have about vaccines. Eric, what do you need to become a mentor in the way of resources and education? If somebody was thinking about this, what do they need to possess, or what do they need to know?
That's actually a great question, right? Because it brings up this conversation about who exactly is a mentor, who can be considered a professional, right? And what I like to say is that anyone with any knowledge or lived experience that they can pass on to another person can be a mentor. The reality is that if you have a level of knowledge, experience, wisdom, professionalism in any specific area. It could be, you know, grandmom who, you know, bakes cakes really well, or grandpop who does something else that's really well. And there's a young man or young woman in the neighborhood, and they want to achieve that thing. They want to attain that goal or achieve that skill. A mentor can really be anyone that has a set skill or knowledge base that they're willing to pass on to another younger person.
And
so
the
first step is really, honestly, and that's a great question, because many people think the first step is on the mentor, but it's actually not. The first step falls on the mentee. You have to have a willingness and a desire to gain some knowledge or information to improve your situation in some kind of way. Some people do it, you know, very proactively, where we think traditionally of, you know, a mentor as a young person who might be struggling either with grades or something involving their social life. And, you know, they're just looking for some guidance, and somehow a person, you know, who's older with some standing in the community is connected to that person. But I often encourage young people to seek out a mentor. It's a best practice in corporate circumstance situations. It's something that's taught in higher education, particularly Ivy League schools. it's something that's taught in, you know, higher achieving areas, but it's not always taught on a more basic level and more, you know, grassroots communities. And so I always encourage people, seek out a mentor.
Is there someplace people can go if they feel like they could be a mentor, but they just want to make sure that they have all the tools they need?
Well, absolutely. So there's a couple of resources I want to share with you guys. The first one is the National Mentoring Resource Center. You can find that at nationalmentoringresourcecenter.org. They focus on youth-focused mentoring programs, and their site is a resource for trainings and evidence-based practices. It's a great warehouse of information and assistance that's used by mentoring programs and youth-based programs all across the country. So it's really an excellent source of information. Another one is Mentor, the National Mentoring Partnership. Mentoring.org is their website. That's another national resource and one of the largest mentor-focused nonprofit organizations in the country. But if depending on your region and where you are, 100 Black Men, who I happen to be a member of, has chapters all across the country. And I'm a member of 100 Black Men Philly. You can go to 100blackmenphilly.org. That's the number 100. For more information about how to assist with their programs. They have a series of programs, everything from Pathways to Success, which is sponsored by Wells Fargo, to virtual mentoring, which is for children in grades 2 to 12. There's a Saturday Leadership Academy for young people 7 to 12. Manhood 101 is for 18 and older. And then they also have a Parent Academy, which just recently won an award for an innovative program as part of the 100 Black Men National Organization. So those are just some of the resources that folks can use.
Great. Thank you very much, Eric, for participating in tonight's Telephone to Town Hall. And a reminder that Eric will also be participating in Senator Haywood's upcoming program this Saturday from 8:30 to noon. And you can sign up on Senator Haywood's website, SenatorHaywood.com, to learn all about how you can get involved in mentoring. Thank you very much, Eric Marsh. And now, Senator, if you're okay, we'll go to some of the questions that we have about vaccines.
Thanks. Before we do so, again, I want to thank Eric Marsh Sr. for providing a comprehensive but short summary of what mentoring is about. I was in Big Brothers Big Sisters for a number of years. That's another one-on-one mentoring organization, and scouting. I was very involved in scouting for a number of years. That's more of a group mentoring activity. All types are ways that we can assist young people to get on the path to a successful life. Thank you so much, Eric. Now, as we move to our second topic, which is the COVID-19 vaccination, I'd like to introduce my two special guests. First, Dr. Valerie Arcuse, Chair of the Montgomery County Board of Commissioners, and Rona Cooper, Public Health Preparedness Clinical Coordinator with the Philadelphia Department of Public Health. First, let me give an opportunity for Dr. Arcuse to say a few words, followed by Rona Cooper, and then we're going to go straight to the calls, of which it looks like there are very many. Dr. Arcuse.
Well, thanks, Senator, and good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with all of you. I'm Dr. Val Arcuse. I'm chair of the Montgomery County Board of Commissioners. I am a physician, and I also have a degree in public health. So I've been doing a lot of the work leading the way in Montgomery County to the response on the coronavirus, and very much looking forward to answering your questions about the COVID vaccine. I know there are many of them.
Thank you. Rona Cooper.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Senator Haywood, for hosting this wonderful town hall. I am, as you said, the clinical coordinator on the public health preparedness team at the Philadelphia Department of Health. My background is public health nursing, and before I joined the Philadelphia Department of Public Health, I spent 20 years as a nurse administrator in the school district of Philadelphia. And so when we have a conversation and you raise your questions, I will be telling you what I know about how we are working on vaccine in Philadelphia specifically.
Thank you so much. All right, JP, let's go straight to the callers, of which it seems like there are quite a number concerned about vaccination.
All right, let's go first to John in Abington. John, you're live with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Hello, Senator Haywood. It's John Spiegelman. Hello, Commissioner Arkush and Dr. Cooper. Thank you so much for holding this tonight. I have a question. I've been getting many questions from constituents here in Abington about how they can get their first, and in some cases, their second COVID vaccine shot. For the folks who need to get their first shot, I've been directing them to the county's public registration, public COVID-19 vaccine registration page. Is there anything else I can be doing to give them proper guidance? And then the same question for folks who have gotten the first shot but need to make an appointment for the second shot and are having trouble doing that.
Thanks so much, John.
So this is Val Arkush. I'll take this one since it's a Montgomery County question. And thank you, Commissioner Spiegelman, for representing your constituents in Abington Township. It's great to have you on. So the first step is definitely in Montgomery County is to pre-register at montcopa.org/COVID-19. And on that page, there's a button that says vaccine information at the very top of that page. And go ahead and click that. And individuals can register by clicking on an orange button. Now, I want people to know that as of this morning, we had over 121,000 people that have pre-registered on our site. The reason there's so many people there is because we have received very little vaccine, and so we've got a long waiting list. So we're going to have to really ask people to be patient. But that is one good place to get your first dose, and we are starting to work through that list. There are a few pharmacies in Montgomery County that have gotten some vaccine, but unfortunately, the state has not set up any kind of central registry for where they are sending vaccine. So people have to look at pharmacies individually. We do have a map on that same web page that you can click on that shows you where different sites are around the county. And then in terms of getting your second dose, the expectation is that you get your second dose wherever you got your first dose. And so if that was with the county, then if you can't get through with the online appointments, you can just show up 4 weeks after you got your first dose with your vaccination card that you're given with your first dose, and we will vaccinate you. If you got your first dose in another county or another state, which has been happening, it's a little more difficult situation because the whole system was set up so that you go back to wherever you got your first dose. So we don't have a great answer for that yet, but we are working on one.
Thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, John. How will we answer that same question for folks in Philadelphia County?
Well, I think that everything that Dr. Arkush said is relevant to Philadelphia County. We also have a website where persons can show their interest in receiving vaccine, and then once they have signed on to that form, we will inform them of when a vaccine is available and where it is available based on what their particular group qualifications are. And so that site is COVID-vaccine-interest.phila.gov. And we welcome folks signing on there. I will say that we have so far vaccinated first dose approximately 90,000 folks, and we're working on second dose, which is about 24,000 folks have received their second dose. We do have a dashboard where anybody can follow where vaccinations have been happening by zip code, what the racial breakdown of recipients has been. And we continue to plug away at the very large populations of both healthcare workers initially and then everybody in the 1B group. We think that the total population of the two combined groups is at least 500,000 people. And as Dr. Arkush said, the one thing that holds us back more than anything else is the lack of supply of vaccines. We are currently only getting about 20,000 doses per week. So do the math, you know, 500,000 people in the initial groups, 20 doses a week. So it's been a challenge as it has been throughout Pennsylvania.
Thank you very much.
To both of our guests, we have a number of callers who are calling in, very elderly callers who may not have access to the internet. What can we tell them about where they can get a vaccine and how they can get in line for a vaccine?
Philadelphia does have a phone number that folks can call. I'm sorry I don't have that available immediately, but I can certainly provide that to Senator Haywood, and perhaps if people leave their contact information, we can make sure we have that number and they can reach out to us.
And in Montgomery County, we are working on getting a phone registration set up. Unfortunately, we don't have that set up just yet, but some of our churches and other places of worship are starting to help their congregants sign up, as are some other senior groups and others. So if there's a group that normally assists you in any way, you could ask them if they're starting to help people sign up, and we hope to have that phone registration up and running in the next couple of weeks.
And
right,
I would
you.
Add that's a great point. We know that our city council persons are also assisting their constituents with signing up when folks don't have access to the internet. So that's a great thought.
All right, let's get to the callers. Ton of callers
next
here.
Caller, Shirley from Mount Airy.
Yes.
You're on live with Senator Haywood and guests.
Yes, my question is this. I have a neighbor who received their first dose at the convention center through an organization called Philly Fight COVID. But I understand, listening to the news, that there was a problem, some legal issues with the young person from Drexel University that was heading it. So it has been disbanded. So where would the person get their second dose? And what happened to all that information that was collected, you know, at the convention center?
Thank you, Shirley, for the question. We are working to make sure that every single person who got a first dose from Philly Fighting COVID will receive their second dose from the Philadelphia Department of Public Health. It is possible that it will be provided also at the convention center, and it is our expectation to reach out to everyone based on the contact information that we do receive from Philly Fighting COVID. But as a little insurance policy, I would suggest that it's also valid for your neighbor to register on that interest form again, just to cover all bases. And I certainly can repeat that information for you if you want. It's COVID, COVID, hyphen, vaccine, hyphen, interest, period, phila.gov. So either way, we hope to reach out to everyone who got a first dose, and there will be no problem about getting second doses.
All right, let's go on to our next caller, Donna from Germantown. Donna, you're on live with Senator Haywood and guests.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. So my mother is 90 years old today, and I would
like to... Congratulations.
Happy birthday.
No, it's nice to meet her. Yeah. And I would like her to get the COVID vaccine. So I called her primary caregiver, never heard back from them. And I went to this Philly Fighting COVID site, and I ended up giving them my information because there was no way that I could give them her information. And so she's she has dementia, so she really can't get out. I really can't take her any place to go get a vaccine. So is there some way that somebody can come to the house and give her the vaccine? And also, since I had to give my information to these people that are having this issue, the Philly Fighting COVID, just to, you know, say I was interested, what happens to that information that I gave them? Is that going to be sold to people?
Well, I can't answer for them. To my knowledge, nothing has been sold, but regardless, speaking about your mother, and congratulations and happy birthday, 90 years old, that's pretty wonderful. We expect that when there is more vaccine available, that primary care providers and even hospital systems that serve their patients will start providing vaccine to their patients. So on the assumption that your mom does go to a doctor's appointment, the doctor, the healthcare provider will have vaccine in the future. With respect to home visits, I don't have an answer for that. I don't know if you or she are connected to a home health agency. They are not yet providers of vaccine. Will that happen in the future? I'm not sure. But I think it is important to understand, and this applies to Montgomery County as well, is that as vaccine becomes more available, the number of providers of vaccine will expand greatly. And so you won't have to depend on a Department of Health, for instance, to get vaccinated. You'll be able to go to a multitude of places to get vaccinated in the same way that you did when you got a flu shot, which I hope you got. So I don't know, you know, it's going to be a question of a little bit of patience so that there is enough out there for everyone to get vaccinated. And in the meantime, obviously, all of the rules that need to be followed with respect to mask wearing, social distancing, staying away from people who are sick, hand washing, all of that will continue to be important as we go forward. This hasn't gone away. We're still in it. There's nothing new about that part.
All right. Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Donna. And Donna, I want you to know my birthday is tomorrow.
All right. Next caller, we're going to go to Eleanor from Mount Airy. Eleanor,
yes.
You're on with Senator Haywood.
Good evening, everyone. My problem is I'm in the Mount Airy section, and we never hear about these sites that's opening up. How do you get the word out to the people? Like, I'm on a couple. I'm on Oak Street, and I'm on the Black Doctors list, and nobody has given me an appointment yet. I've been to all the sites. Where in Philadelphia can we actually get, we on the register, but how do you get the information out that where you're going to be at to give the stuff out? Get the vaccine.
Well, what we're hoping is that, when you fill out the form and you identify your location, that at the point where there is a provider available, that you will be notified that the provider is available.
Wow.
Additionally, what we're hoping is that the local pharmacy stores, you know, the Rite Aids, the CVSs, the Walgreens, the ShopRite near you, any place that has a pharmacy operation in the future will be receiving vaccine and will be able to give out vaccine to a larger population. The fact that you don't know where to go simply is because none of those places exist yet. All of the vaccinating that's been happening has been happening mostly in hospital systems for their frontline healthcare workers, people who work in ICUs, people who work in ERs, and some other kinds of healthcare workers. So as we spread out to the larger population, hopefully there will be many providers and many opportunities for you to get vaccinated. And those will be made public. The Department of Health, the Philadelphia Department of Health, already has a website with a map that shows where testing has happened. And we hope to do the same when it's time for a wider number of providers have vaccine available for you.
So that's no time soon. Now, they was giving out the vaccine at the LaCour Center, but how do everybody get to know that they giving out the vaccine at the LaCour Center? Because I didn't hear about it until after everybody had been there.
Yeah, that's Black Doctors COVID Consortium. That's who was giving out vaccine there.
Eleanor, let me tell you something. There's a long line of people who want the vaccine, and you are in the line because you have registered. You are in the right line. And it will take some time, as people have described, to get more vaccine out. But also, people who are receiving the vaccine now are in the line. They may have gotten in the line before you did for a number of different reasons, occupations. But I don't want you to think that the vaccine is being given out in a way that's different than the line. You got to register. I've talked to Dr. Ayla Sanford. You've got to register for the Black Doctors. You've got to get in line. Last time I talked to her was last Thursday. She had over 15,000 people who were registered. And so it's a long line. So stay in line, and your turn will come up.
All right. Okay, no questions. Callers now. Thank you, Senator. We'll go back to the callers now. We're going to hear from Earl in Mount Airy. Earl, you're on with the Senator and his guest.
Yes, good evening, everyone. My question is this. I would like to know what can be done in order to allay the fears in people of color who have been reluctant of receiving the vaccines because of historical mistrust of the government and medical community because of past experiments and everything like that. I know people who even work into the medical field who are reluctant about getting the vaccine. And one individual who works in the medical field told me of alleged mishandling of vaccines with respect to temperature safety concerns and other things in that area. Additionally, what are the efficacies of the vaccine against these new strains? From Pfizer, Moderna, and, coming Johnson & Johnson. Because I know that this vaccine, because of the emergency situation of the pandemic, was fast-tracked. And most vaccines don't take anywhere much longer time in order to be approved. But, this emergency changed things. So if you could answer those questions, I would greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Earl. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Kush, you want to take that?
I'll start. Yeah, and then Rona, obviously, want to hear your thoughts too. So we, in Montgomery County, we have done already three or four webinars, and they are freely available to watch. There are links from the Montgomery County, Pennsylvania Facebook page. The most recent one that we did was with Dr. Ayla Sanford from the Black Doctors, Pastor Waller from Enon, Pastor Mitchell from Salem Baptist, and Pastor Kwan from Bethlehem Baptist. And I participated myself, as did my colleague, Commissioner Ken Lawrence. And it was just a really good discussion. All of those individuals that I named, except for my colleague, Ken Lawrence, They've all been vaccinated. Ken and I are waiting our turn, so we are kind of somewhat impatiently waiting. We can't wait to get vaccinated, but we're waiting our turn. And so they talked about their experiences. We talked about the research, which shows that this vaccine has been safe and effective in similar ways, regardless of your ethnic or racial background. And unlike a lot of studies that are done in the medical world, this study enrolled a percentage of people who identified as Black, similar to the percentage of people who identify Black in our population as a country. So there was good representation. And so far, the vaccines have been shown to be nearly 100% effective at preventing hospitalization and death. So we're really fortunate to have these vaccines right now, given the situation that we find ourselves in. There have been some very important questions raised about these new variants. Against the original variant, the vaccines are 90 to 95% effective, which is pretty extraordinary. Your average flu vaccine is about 70 to 80% effective in a good year. So these are way more effective than the flu vaccine. Against the new variant, what I have read is that the belief is that they will be similarly effective, maybe slightly less, but only slightly. So we're all hopeful that that is the case.
Okay.
And I would add that the issue of the speed with which the vaccines were approved and are being rolled out, you have to take into account that the production of the vaccine was occurring at the same time as the process of approval and the clinical trials was happening. So as soon as the approval happened, the vaccine supply was being sent out. And that's usually something that takes a long time. You know, there's approval and then the drug company gets the go-ahead to produce, and then the production takes a while. So that really cut the time down between approval and distributing of the vaccine.
All right, we're going to get to our next caller. Yeah. Bonnie from Mount Airy. Bonnie, do you have a question for our guest and Senator Haywood?
Yes, I'm very grateful that you're presenting this, because I've been going on the website trying very hard to sign up, and everywhere I call, there's either no answer, or they say that they're setting it up, and I go to little dots, and nothing comes through. So you gave me a website that I'm going to try tomorrow to see if I can get set up for. But my other question is, I'm here with my mom, who's 96, and she had death in her family in Boston. She lived next door to my brother. So she's now with me. Would she be able to get a vaccination as well?
Yes. I have no doubt that she would be able to get vaccinated. But, you know, there is a question of residency, and I think that's what you're asking. You know, as we open up and there's more supply, I think this question may end up going away. You should understand that when the CDC gives either Philadelphia, we get our vaccine directly from the federal government, and Montgomery County, as an example, gets vaccine from the state. But the amount of vaccine that we all get is based on the residents of the county, on the population numbers. But we understand that there's no way to really tighten it so completely that we're not able to provide vaccine for people at highest risk, as is your mother. And so if your mother is connected with primary care in Philadelphia, and I hope she will be, it's very likely that, you know, she'll be able to get vaccinated through that primary care provider. So I would certainly encourage you to make sure she has the care that she needs you know, for continuity from Boston to locally.
We're getting a lot of questions over the internet about the websites where people can sign up. If we could just have our guests repeat them once now, and then we'll do it one more time before the end of our town hall tonight. Could we just repeat the websites where people can go to register to get a vaccine?
Yep, I'll start. This
sure.
is Val Arkesh.
Yeah.
So
ahead.
If you're in yeah. Montgomery County, so this is if you live or work in Montgomery County and you're 65 years of age or older or under 64 with one of the health conditions, you can go to www.montcopa.org/COVID-19, so the number 1 and the number 9. And on that page is a green button at the very top that says vaccine information, and you just click on that.
And in Philadelphia, the form is called the COVID-19 Vaccine Interest Form, and the address is COVID, COVID, hyphen, vaccine, VACCINE, hyphen, interest, INTEREST, dot, PHILA, PHILA, dot, gov. And in addition to such things as name, address, phone number, there are questions on the form that have to do with age, what work you might be doing, whether you have certain medical conditions, whether you have severe allergies. All of those questions are on that form. And then at the bottom of the page, there's a blue button that says submit form.
All right. Thank you very much. And for you folks who didn't get all that information down, we'll try to repeat that one more time before the evening's call is over. And Senator Haywood will have that on his website, senatorhaywood.com, by tomorrow morning. Let's go to Caroline in Jenkintown. Caroline, you're on live with our guest, Senator Haywood.
Hi, everyone. You answered my question, so I don't have one. Thank you, though.
Okay, thanks for calling. All right, next we'll go to David from Elkins Park. David, you're on live with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I have a couple parts of my question. One is the first dose and the second dose, are they identical? Or is there a batch of first doses and batch of second doses?
They are identical.
Okay. So I know you have to use the same, you know, Moderna or Pfizer, but I didn't know whether
that's right.
They were.
Yep. So the two Pfizer doses are the same. The two Moderna doses are the same. With the Pfizer vaccine, you get your second dose on day 21, or that's the minimum time is day 21. And with Moderna, it's 28 days.
Right. And my wife and I are both over 65. We have pre-registered. We're in Montgomery County. We pre-registered with the county. Can you give a real general idea of when we could reasonably expect to hear back from the county? Do you think it would be in a month, in February, or would it be February and March?
Well, it really depends. Yeah, it really depends when you got on the list. And we're actually working on something to put up on our website that says, you know, if you registered in the first couple of days that we opened, you're probably in the top, you know, 8 or 10,000 people, you know, just to kind of go try to understand how many people are ahead of you.
Right.
I will tell you that we have started to send invitations to the first, I think, about 2,000 people on the list. So we started that today because we had to get through all of our healthcare providers first. So we're through most of them at this point, and so we are now offering invitations for appointments to the people on this list. So as of this morning, there was 121,000 people on the list. So it just kind of depends when you signed up, if you can remember approximately when that was.
I think it was about a week ago. But do you think it's also good to just try these on the map, I see, you know, these various places, hospitals and pharmacies, which I've tried, and I've left information on their websites, but I haven't heard anything back from them. But do you think we should still try those?
You know, it's worth a try. The pharmacies have been very hit or miss. It's been just, I think, luck, frankly, if somebody was able to get an appointment there. The hospitals are still not quite yet setting up clinics for the community, although Holy Redeemer and Abington Lansdale, not the one in Abington, are planning to do so in the next couple of weeks, so you could keep an eye out for that.
Sure.
And, you know, at our we are vaccinating at least 1,000 people a day of first doses. We're opening up a second mass vaccination site next week so that we can keep our second doses going and then start again, you know, keep going with first doses. So as of the middle of next week, we'll be vaccinating at least 2,000 people a day. We could do a lot more if we had more vaccine, but that's all we have. So,
sure.
You know, we'll be moving through it as quickly as we can. So we just unfortunately need a lot of patients. And absolutely worth looking to try to find an appointment somewhere else.
Great, great. And if I do get a call back from the county, is that going to be in a certain location, the appointments, or could that be anywhere?
It'll be. So if you get an email inviting you to sign up, as of next Wednesday, all the first appointments for the next month will be at the Northtown High School. In Northtown, right, the county seat.
Great.
It's a really nice setup, super easy to pull up and drop somebody off and walk in. It's going to be great.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, David, for your question. And I want to remind our callers, if you want to participate in tonight's discussion, if you have a question that hasn't been answered so far, press *3 on your telephone keyboard to go into our live session. Next, we're going to be going to Jesse, from Mount Airy. Jesse, you are on live with Senator Haywood and his guests.
Thank you, Senator Haywood, and to his guests. I'm asking a question in reference to veterans getting the vaccine in Philadelphia.
I know that the VA just had a big campaign for veterans to get vaccinated. Did you miss that one? That was literally last weekend at the VA hospital in West Philly.
Okay, at the hospital in West Philly.
Yes. So are you a patient there, or do you have any contact there?
I am a veteran, so I was just thinking about my fellow veterans. I have hospitalization myself, but I was thinking about those who don't have one, have hospitalization.
They just had that very big campaign. I don't know what their follow-up is going to be. The good news for veterans is that the federal government is providing to the VA hospital specifically some doses separate from what we're getting in Philadelphia. So I would... if you have contact to the VA, or perhaps Senator Haywood's office will be able to help you with a contact to find out when their next campaign for vaccinating will be down at the hospital.
Okay.
That's something, Jesse, that's something we can definitely do. We'll contact the VA hospital and get the schedule of vaccinations to the extent they have a schedule, and we'll share it. It's good to know that the hospital is receiving their own vaccine, but we'll follow up to find out when they're doing their next vaccination. Thanks for raising that.
Thank you, Senator Haywood. We appreciate your service to the community. Thank you so very much.
Thank you for calling.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Jesse. Next, we're going to go to Rhea Sneed. Rhea, you're on live with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Hello, Senator Haywood. Thanks for having me. I have a couple of questions. Number one, where do I go to get tested? And how long after the testing do I sign up to be register to receive a vaccine?
Where do you live?
Oh, I live in Mount Airy.
What area? Okay.
Near.
So,
I live near
Enon. Go ahead.
I live near
Enon. Okay, I know where that is. So the Philadelphia, do you have access to the internet?
Yes.
Okay, so on the phila.gov/health, you will find a link to COVID-19, and there is a little section that says, where do I get tested? And when you click on that, it will bring up a map of all the sites in Philadelphia that where you can get tested. There are over, I believe, 60 sites. And also, there is a list of those sites. So you just have to go there and see what's most convenient for you. And on each of those sites, there's contact information because you have to set up an appointment. You can't just necessarily show up at most places. You set up an appointment and they will test you. Now, I'm not advertising any particular group, but I do know that in the Cheltenham Mall, there is an urgent care center called, I believe, ASC, and they're doing testing. And so my guess is that is one of the places that's probably closest to you if you live near Enon.
Yes, I do. Okay, could you give me that website again, please?
Yeah, it's, I'm actually going to try and pull it up for you just to see if I can get it. You got it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's see. Testing sites list. So it's phila.gov.
Okay.
/
Okay.
I want to find the easiest way for you to do it. / / program.
The whole word?
Yep, the whole word.
Okay.
Then another /
Okay.
And then coronavirus, all one word, corona virus.
Okay.
Hyphen.
Okay.
Disease. Keep going here. There's more.
Okay, hold on.
How are you doing there? So
I'm good.
Coronavirus hyphen disease.
Got that.
Hyphen 2019. 2019.
Okay.
Hyphen.
Right. Okay.
COVID COVID.
Okay.
-19.
Okay. Okay. Can
and
I read
so
it back to you?
Go there. Oh, sure. Yeah.
Okay. phila.gov / program /
So programs with an S at the end.
S, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Coronavirus -disease -2019 COVID -19.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
no,
now
please,
it's, you know, bottom
please.
Line
want,
is if you get on the Philadelphia
I need to interrupt. Hold it.
Yeah.
It's me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Call my office and we will direct you. 215.
Okay.
That is a much better solution. Thank you.
215. Okay, Senator, go ahead. 215.
242-8171.
Okay. Okay, got it.
Call us.
That was much easier.
And can I just throw in one thing, just so everyone's aware, because I've actually gotten this question quite a bit. You don't have to be tested to be vaccinated. So if you need to be tested, you think you might have been exposed, or you just want to be tested, you're of course welcome to be tested. But you don't have to be tested in order to get vaccinated.
Thanks so much.
Right.
Thank you very much, everybody. And we'll move on to our next caller, Faith from Montgomery County. Faith, you are on live with Senator Haywood and guests.
Okay, thank you. I think some of my questions have been pretty much answered. I'm 89 years old, and I have pre-registered online, and I got confirmation of this. But and I have been calling around from a list of providers that was listed in the Inquirer, but nobody seems to be taking any registration for appointments. And I was wondering, does your age figure in how soon you get you get the vaccine, or is it just by how soon you signed up?
That's a really great question. So in Montgomery County, we get our vaccine from the Pennsylvania Department of Health, and we are required to follow their rules on the order in which we vaccinate people. And right now, the rules that we have been given by them says that anyone who is 65 years of age and up, and anyone who's under 65 with certain pre-existing conditions, and any healthcare workers are all the same within 1A. So we are not allowed right now to say, you know, if you're 75 and older, you get preference over someone who might be 65 to 74. We are not allowed to do that right now. So we are simply going down our list.
Okay. I had signed up on January 14th. Would you have any idea of when I could expect to get the vaccine?
So this is a total guess, because we never know how much vaccine we're going to receive every week. In fact, this week we got fewer doses than we did last week, which was really frustrating. But I would say that you will probably get the opportunity to schedule an appointment in 2 to 3 weeks, hopefully.
I see. Okay. This has really been frustrating. Thank you so much for your help.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's so frustrating. There's just not enough vaccine.
Right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Faith, for calling. And to our panel of experts, we have a lot of traffic from our online questions wanting to know, when will teachers get vaccinated?
Well, I'm happy to start with that one.
Yeah, okay.
I've
got good news as well.
So let me tell you what is happening in Montgomery County. So any school nurses have been given the opportunity to be vaccinated, as have special education teachers and aides that work in special education classrooms, because they're very hands-on. We've also sent out the opportunity for teachers who are in the 1A category by the age or by pre-existing condition. We've sent out invitations to both public and private schools in Montgomery County for those individuals to sign up. But right now, under the guidelines that Montgomery County has to follow, under PA, the Pennsylvania Department of Health, we're not allowed to offer vaccines to, you know, younger, healthier teachers. And I'm very, very frustrated by this, because it's really important to getting our schools open to be able to vaccinate those that wish to be vaccinated. And because they were about to be vaccinated, they were in the right at the top of that 1B category until the eligibility rules changed and the 1A category got a whole lot bigger. In Montgomery County, it added, we think, close to 250,000 people into the 1A category. So it's really put the teachers, you know, who are younger and healthier at a disadvantage. So very frustrating for us.
All right. Thank you very much.
And with respect to Philadelphia, we believe that we will be working with a particular provider who is interested in providing vaccinations to teachers in Philadelphia. So it's not ready for prime time, but we're working on it.
All right, thank you very much. That should answer a lot of our online questions. Next, we're gonna go to Jacqueline. Jacqueline from East Mount Airy. You're on live with Senator Haywood and guests.
Good evening, everyone. My question is related to registering more than once on different sites. Earlier today, I was given information about registering on Black doctors, and then there was a Philadelphia Health Department website. One of the things that I wanted to know is whether or not registering more than once will impact the system, and does it... Do they have a way of cross-referencing the registration in Philadelphia? Because I think people are very anxious, and every time they get an opportunity to register to ensure that they're on some list, they might do that. But it just occurred to me that that may not be the route to go. So,
I think you're safe in registering on multiple sites. The bad news is that, to my knowledge, the multiple sites don't yet talk to each other and cross-reference. But were you to register on multiple sites, one would not affect the other.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Sure.
All right. Thank you, Jacqueline. Thank you for that question. And now we're going to go to Diane in Glenside. Diane, you're on live with Senator Haywood and his guests.
Good evening. I appreciate the time. I was wondering if one is a nurse and would like to either volunteer or help out giving injections, how they can do this. I have called the Montgomery County, I guess that's Serve PA, and filled out that form. I haven't heard anything yet. But other people said they've tried, emailed, and done other stuff and haven't heard anything. What's the best route to go about this?
Well, you did exactly the right thing. And I will tell you, we have been blessed in Montgomery County. I think we have had 600 or 700 people sign up to volunteer just in the last 3 weeks. So just please bear with us. We have one person who is sorting through it all. His name is Zach Hunter. So if you see an email from Zach Hunter, he is our volunteer coordinator. And I'm sure that, so if you went through the PA Serve and you indicated, you know, where you are, I'm sure you'll be hearing from him in the next couple weeks.
Okay.
So thank you.
Okay, great.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you for your question, Diane. Next, we're going to go to Kimberly from Mount Airy. Kimberly, you're on live with Senator Haywood and guests.
Well, thank you so much for having me on the call. I did have a question in reference to the vaccine. Wanted to find out, once you get the shots, both shots, the following year, are there booster shots that we would have to get once you've already established the vaccine in your system?
We don't know the answer to that. That's something that has yet to be determined. We don't know if the vaccination will be similar to some of the vaccines you've probably gotten before, where it's one or two shots and then you're good for many, many years, or whether this is going to be a situation like flu vaccine where you have to get something every year That's simply not information that we have yet. Good question, though.
Okay. And also, I just want to encourage everyone to stay safe. And if you're able to watch on Hulu, The Last Ship, it reflects what we're going through right now, and it was brought out in 2014. It's a good series, The Last Ship.
Thank you, Kimberly. All right.
Thank you, Kimberly. Looks like, Senator, we have about time for one more question here, so we're going to go to, before we wrap up, Linda in Mount Airy. Linda, you're on live with Senator Haywood and his guest.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I have a question. I live in East Mount Airy, literally three blocks from Montgomery County, and all my doctors are there. It's where I do all my medical stuff. And I know that, and I have signed up on the Philadelphia website, and I know that Philadelphia gets their vaccine separately from the rest of the state. But when the vaccine is more available in, like, pharmacies or hospitals in Montgomery County, can I get my will I be able to get my vaccinations there even though I live in Philadelphia?
I think that our hope is that you'll be able to get your vaccine from your primary care provider, and that will, I doubt that primary care providers would be concerned about where their patients live, because I think this is a problem that is for many people, not just you. It's not an unusual problem. Hopefully at the point where providers are able to vaccinate, they'll simply vaccinate their patients the same way they would a flu vaccine or, you know, pneumonia vaccine.
But what about when the Walgreens or CVS has the vaccine, can I go a few blocks, you know, can I go, say, to the Walgreens in Flower Town to get my vaccination as opposed to going much farther to a Walgreens in Philadelphia to get my vaccination?
Well, this is Valerie Cush. So both the Center for Disease Control and the Pennsylvania Department of Health have told my health department in Montgomery County that we cannot restrict anyone based on where they live.
Oh, okay. So I could just do that. It makes a lot more sense for me and probably other people who live, you know, right in my neighborhood. I mean, it's like I'm almost 74, so I know, like, in Montgomery County, I would be eligible, but in Philadelphia, I'm not. But I wouldn't go to try to get a shot in Montgomery County now because it doesn't seem right. But once I become eligible, you know, in the vaccine, I just, you know, want to be able to go to the quickest place to get it, you know?
Sure.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much to all of our callers. It's been a lot of information. I want to remind our listeners that all this information, website addresses, and phone numbers will be on Senator Haywood's website. Easy to find, senatorhaywood.com. Speaking of Senator Haywood, it's your turn, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you, JP. Thank you so much, Eric Marsh Sr., who was our earlier guest talking about mentoring. And a special thanks to Dr. Valerie Cush and Rona Cooper, who've taken over 15 questions on vaccination and all things COVID. I want to thank everyone who called in. That includes John, Shirley, Donna, Eleanor, Earl, Caroline, Faith, Jacqueline, Diane, Kimberly, Linda, David, Jesse, and Rhea. Thank you all so much for calling in. If you didn't have a chance to ask your question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail for me, and we'll get back to you. Thank you again for your participation. If you have any additional questions or concerns, please call my office at 215-242-8171. You can also visit my website at senatorhaywood.com. Again, thank you for all those who called in. Thank you so much, Dr. Arkush and Rona Cooper, for your answers, your willingness to answer each of the detailed questions that came our way. Good night.
Thank
everyone.
You. Good night.
Thank you, Senator. Good night, everybody.
Well, thank you for participating in Senator R. Haywood's telephone town hall. You've been a great audience, and thanks for sharing your evening with us.